Now, I know I'm not a singer. I never have been one. But when God gives me a word, and even up there at that hospital, many times God would give me a song. But it would be a prophetic word. And it would always be an old song, magnifying Jesus. I mean, every time. But this morning at 4 o'clock, I woke up and I greeted the Lord. That's what I do. I greeted the Lord. And Pastor Brett, the Lord sang that song to me. And you know, I told him in the first service, and my husband really knows this, I've used my voice in prayer and in preaching and in praying for the sick and, you know, and in prayer lines for so many years. My voice is just worn out. And but I also told him I got a few more years. The Lord sang that song to me, and he said, it's a word for this church. It is a word for this church. And I absolutely feel this way, like I felt in the first service, that if we went home right now, if we all left and went home, just that song is a word from the Lord for this church. For all of us, not just this church, for all of us. And you know, I don't have my phone up here, but a housewife wrote that song in the most fierce part of World War II, where there was a lot of fear going on, and she was doing her housework and possibly dealing with warfare in her mind, you know. And that song, God just inspired her with that song, and she wrote the words and the music. It said, I looked it up, and she wrote the words and the music that afternoon there at her house in these very tumultuous times. And God began to speak to me, and he spoke to me out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the Bible says that you know, what in the, it's in the natural first and then in the spirit. And the Lord began to talk to me, and he said this to me. He said, what you see going on in the natural is exactly what is going on in the spirit against my people. What do we see in the natural, children? We are seeing terrorism on the rise. We are seeing terrorist attacks. They call them, some of them they call lone wolf attacks. In other words, just somebody that looks just like you and I will just come in a setting like this and just begin to attack. I mean, unaware, just begin to attack. And the Lord began to speak to me, and he began to show me how many ministries, especially, that's who God was talking about to me this morning, how many ministries, and be it worship ministries, I'm just talking about ministers and their families that have been so viciously attacked, I mean just suddenly, and out of nowhere. I got a call just this past week from a young pastor and that is dear to my heart, and just all of a sudden, he said, Sister Sandy, I mean, one minute I was well, and the next time I was in getting heart, whatever they do to your heart when they replace things and stuff. I mean, it was a mess. I mean, his life, they said 2 more hours and something bad would have happened. You know how the devil's always saying all this stuff. I tell you, I've learned that. Oh, it's going to be 2 more hours and everything's going to blow up. You know what I learned to tell him when they tell me 2 more hours and he'll be gone? I say, you give me 2 more hours to pray and you'll see how long he'll live. And I'll go right back in there. I'll tell you something else, Pastor Elaine, that day you called me, they told me, they said, oh, you built my faith so much that day. You said all of our attention, you know, I don't know if you remembered or not, but oh, I tell you, it was a day. It was a day, and Pastor Elaine called me, and my girls knew I'd just turn my phone over to them because I had to, you know, I had to be single-minded, but they knew I'd want to talk to her, and so I did. And she said, Sister Sandy, she said, you've stood with us before and told me some things, and she said, but our focus is totally on Brother Jerry Don. We are single-minded. Or I don't know if she said that, but I say that. She said, we are singly-minded and we are with you. Man, I'm telling you, that is something. But it was that afternoon, Pastor Elaine, they told me, they said, now listen, Miss Burris, they had wanted to take a kidney out. And that did not rest in my spirit. that did not rest in my spirit. And I said, that doesn't rest in my spirit. But see, by now, that wasn't foreign language to them, because I have been schooling the doctors and the nurses and the healthcare. And I've been using sense. I hadn't been going in there cutting up, acting like some religious fruitcake, but they were seeing results. And so my language now is becoming familiar. I never allowed their language to become familiar to me, but my language became familiar to them. I said, that doesn't rest in my spirit. I said, I think I'm going to need 4 more hours to pray. They said, we're going to give you 4 more hours, Sister Sandy. I mean, Miss Burris is what they call me. And so they gave me 4 hours and I prayed and I said, what I want is a different opinion. I want, I know I'd heard people say that you could ask for a different opinion. So I said, I want a different opinion, because I am not of that. I told the doctor, I said, that still does not rest in my spirit, and I want a different opinion. And I said, I hope that don't hurt your feelings, because I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And they said, oh, no, that's fine. But I had one heart doctor that I knew was a Christian. I knew he was in prayer. I could feel it. Dr. Griffin was his name. And I said, he is our doctor now. He's like our child now. But anyway, He said, okay, now, Dr. Griffin, I want you to get me a kidney specialist. I want you to do it. He said, okay, I know exactly who I'm going to call. And so he called him. And y'all, this is exactly what, I mean, he came in. I mean, it was like, he came in. Now, we all know what they had seen. He did not deny it. It was there. On the kidney, he examined him. Yep. Huge cyst in there. He said, there's no way I'd touch that kidney. I wouldn't remove that kidney for anything. He's probably lived with that for 50 years. He's never had a minute's trouble. Now, I would not touch that kidney. Hallelujah. So, they saw that prayer changed that. They saw that prayer changed that just by God leading me. Because, see, they were fixing to take it. They wouldn't take him to the doctor. I mean, to the operating room. Now, Pastor Elaine, does this make a lick of sense to you? They had just told me that morning, right before you called, that they needed to do some little something. They needed to put a tube into his stomach because his stomach had shut down. But he wouldn't live through the procedure. And now they're wanting to remove a kidney? I mean, I'm telling you, I learned you got to pay close attention. Got to pay close attention. And so then, so that was that day. Okay, so now a couple of days later, they say, now, Miss Burris, we're going to have to put him on dialysis. That did not rest in my spirit. Because another doctor had told me that if they ever go on dialysis, they'll most likely never come off of it. So that did not rest in my spirit. I'm telling you, I'm talking to you about terrorist attacks. Attacks that come from nowhere. So they said, the doctor said, we're going to have to put him on dialysis. I said, that doesn't rest in my spirit. I'm going to need to pray about that. Well, this was a new doctor. And so he hadn't really learned me yet. And so he just kind of looked at me like, oh, well, what's the difference? He's going to die of all this other stuff anyway. So we'll just let it go. But finally, it got down to the point. He said, he came in and he said, Miss Burris, our back is against the wall. We're going to have to put him on dialysis. And I said, well, doctor, if that is so, here's all I know to tell you. That does not rest in my spirit. It will not rest in my spirit. I've prayed and prayed and prayed about dialysis. It does not rest in my spirit. And all I know to tell you is God, you're about to see God make a hole in a wall. So I went and I sat down at the foot of that cross. I said, God, this is one thing that I know, and I know you know about me. I have always discerned your body. It did not matter. If they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd go preach to them. God, I have discerned your body. A lot of preachers back in the day, they wouldn't go if you didn't speak in tongues. They wouldn't go, God, I'd go. You know I'd go. God, you know I preach in the Catholic churches. I preach in the Presbyterian. And I just started going down the line. And I said, God, where they named your name as Savior, I've gone. And I said, God, surely, surely within this great big body of yours, if I can't hear what the solution is for his kidneys, and I, or my faith is not there, or whatever it is, surely, in this great big body of yours, you have my answer. And I went back into that death room, same one I'd come out of. And I sat down with my children. I said, now listen. I said, we're going to come into agreement right now. We've got to have an answer. They're doing all they know to do, and we want to be respectful. But I am not, I'm telling, children, I'm telling you right now, it does not rest in my spirit, and I absolutely will not allow them to put your daddy on dialysis. I won't allow it. And one of them said, Mother, he'll die. I said, no, he won't. No, he won't. I said, here's what we need to come into agreement with, that whoever it is that has our answer, they need to be keen. They need to be alert, and they need to be bold to get in touch with me. It was not an hour later, a pastor called me. And he said, Sister Sandy, he said, I've been praying and for your husband. And he said, his kidneys just keep on coming up in my spirit. And he said, Sister Sandy, God spoke to me and said, it's a spirit of Leviathan. He said, there is a spirit of Leviathan. And he began to teach me things I didn't know about Leviathan. He said, Leviathan looks very much like an alligator. And Leviathan, what Leviathan will do, will get crosswise of the stream and see the stream. We needed a stream. They had told me my husband needs to pee like a racehorse, so I was commanding him to pee like a racehorse. And so then they said it's because a racehorse has such a strong stream. That's why they use that. And so that's what I was doing. If that hurts your little religious ears, then you'll be all right. I'll pray for you a little bit and the Lord will heal you. But anyway, he said, Sister Sandy, he said, I saw the spirit of Leviathan. And he said, the spirit of Leviathan gets crosswise in the healing stream. I didn't know this. And gets crosswise in the healing stream. And Leviathan has these great big, much like an alligator, and they hit pin, Leviathan pins its prey up, and then it, you know, snatches down its jaws, and then it's got its prey. And that's how it holds it for a lifetime. I said, okay. Now, I didn't have all that revelation. I had some of it. I didn't have all that revelation. I said, so here's what I'm telling you. I prayed, and God sent me an answer. You're the one with the revelation. I'm in the death room. I have all my children here. And you're going to pray. We're going to agree with you. I'm going to go back there. I'm going to speak to his kidneys. I'm going to command them to begin to flow, and they're going to begin to flow, and he is going to pee like a racehorse. He prayed. We all agreed. I got up. I went back there. I left the death room, left my children in the death room. I went back. I got in there, and the nurses ran after me. They ran after me. They would do that. And they said, are you going to pray for him? And I say, yes. And they would run after me. I mean, this literally happened. They started coming from other units even, because they heard what God was doing. See, God gave my spiritual daughter the word. This sickness is not unto death, but that the glory of God may be revealed. Okay. And so I go in there. And so I go in there. And he looks just as dead as he's ever looked. He looks just as swollen as he's ever looked, or worse. He is a mess. I mean, he is so close to heaven. You can't hardly discern where he stops and heaven begins. I mean, it was that bad. And I am not exaggerating. And so I didn't know exactly where his kidneys were, and they had him flat on his back, you know, and I knew they were somewhere back up in there. So I just put my hands on his sides. And I said, I speak to my kidneys, because see, now here's what I do. See, there's so much to tell about this. You've got to understand authority. See, I knew we were in agreement. I knew I wasn't usurping authority over my husband. I knew we were in total agreement. And I would go and I'd stand at the foot of the bed like if he was laying in the bed, and I'd say, devil, get off of my body. That's my body. body you've attacked. It looks like it's him, but you've attacked me. Because we are one. Now you get off of my body in the name of Jesus. You may have him down for a minute, but I'm strong. Get off of my body. Hallelujah. It looked like nothing ever changed. Every time I do it, it looked like nothing ever changed. I just keep on doing it. So I went in there and I just, as much as I could, on top of the cover. Thank you, Dad. Thank you. And I said, I speak to these kidneys in the name of Jesus. These are my kidneys. I command these kidneys. I command you. You begin to function. You wake up. You come to life. Whatever you are, I command life. I command light. I command you to function in the name of Jesus. I command this bladder. Wake up. Wake up. Come to life in Jesus' name. And I command you to pee like a racehorse. Well, I am so locked in. I don't see a lot of things in the natural. You know, that's how you'd be. That's how you are. In a minute, I'm telling you, those nurses went ballistic. They were going, get another bag. Because those bags began to fill up so fast, they were running over on the floor. I'm telling you. And those nurses were going, do you believe this? I'm telling you, they supernaturally started moving. That is exactly right. They supernaturally began to move. Why? Because I have discerned the body of Christ for years. I told God that day at the foot of that cross, I said, God, I'm not trying to be anybody's hero. All I know is thy word, oh God, is truth. Your word is truth. You are not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you'll repent. You're not going to take back a promise from me. You're not going to break a promise from me. My husband shall live and he shall not die. I am going through the valley of the shadow of death, but it is just a shadow.
Hallelujah.
This thing is not real. It's real to the world, but it's not real to me. This thing is just a shadow. In times like these,
we
need a Savior. In times like this, he said, we need the Bible. In times like these, oh, don't be idle. In other words, we've got to be doers of the word. I don't care how well you can preach it. I don't care how well you can teach it. You have to come to the place that you walk it, that you live it, that you can't be separated from it.
Yes, Lord.
Faith begins where the will of God is known. Had I not known the will of God for my husband, I'm telling you, preachers tried to talk me out of it. Families tried to talk me out of it. Family members said, what if it's his time? I said, I'll tell you one thing. That's not the God I know. If it's his time to go, God holds his very breath that's in his nostrils in his hand. And God could take him like that. God don't do stuff like this. My God don't do stuff like this. God don't do stuff like this. This is the devil and nothing but the devil. And now I know it was a terrorist attack. Pastor Elaine, this was nothing but a terrorist attack on us. This was nothing but a terrorist attack. It came from nowhere. And it was to take us out because we are hated. Because we are hated because of our God. And so the enemy wants to take us out. But here's what I've come to tell you. If you will get on the word and you'll get in the word and you'll stay there until you defeated. He is already defeated. The Bible says we live by faith. Hebrews 10:38. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith. It's a step-by-step thing that we walk. The word for the church today was, in times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. I'm telling you, the Word of God, Jesus and His Word is our rock. And our anchor is our faith in Him. That's our anchor. And we've got to make sure that our anchor has a solid grip on the Word, on Him. That we have a solid, that our faith has a solid grip on the Word of God. I'm not talking about some pie in the sky stupid stuff. I'm not talking about getting out of from under authority and just trying to be like a lone wolf. I am talking about doing it God's way. I'm not talking about works. But why do you think I said to him in the beginning, Dad, are we in agreement? He could barely speak, but he said, yes, we are. I said, what are we in agreement with? He said that I am healed. I came up under that. I stood right beside that. I got on top of that. I wouldn't let that go, because the Bible says that if just two of us would come into agreement, and you know what? We hadn't gone some good. See, here's where we miss it. What are we in agreement on? That he is healed. What is that in agreement with? The Word of God. We're in agreement with the Word. You can't get in agreement with the 5 and 10 cents store. You got to agree with the Word of God. And so a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. Me, him, and Jesus. We all agree. Therefore, he couldn't speak, but I did. I could talk. And so I spoke. I spoke. Now, oh, I'm just going to have to go with it because our time. Listen to me, children. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Let me tell you something. Why did I go back in there and say, Dad, when we roused him enough that the doctor said it would be okay legally? I said, Dad, you got to give me some time, because see, the enemy immediately started fighting me. I was preaching in Indianapolis. My flight got canceled. I mean, it was warfare. I mean, it was on. This came so suddenly, and then it was on. And I said, Dad, I don't have a prayer strategy yet. In other words, I don't have a way to war with this yet. Now, I'm doing what I built in my spirit all this time, but I got to have a rhema word. I got to have a rhema word. I got to know how to do this, because you know what? Sometimes God moves. Just go in, lay hands on the sick. They recover right then. I mean, I got to find out God. And I said, Dad, I promise you, let them put you on life support. They said it's a 5% chance that will keep you alive for a little while. That's what they told me, 5%. I said, well, that's how, I tell you, I did anything to boost my faith. I said, that's half the tithe, I'll take it. I mean, that's what I said. That's half a tithe, I'll take it. I'll just put my faith in that 5%. I just keep him alive until I can get it. And I said, but here's what I told him. I said, Dad, I promise you, I give you my word. Knowing what I was doing. Do you hear me, children? Do you hear me? Knowing what I was saying, knowing what I would have to deal with, knowing the responsibility that I was taking upon myself, I said, Dad, I give you my word. He knew I wouldn't lie to him. I never had. I said, I promise you, if I cannot hear God, if I cannot pull this through with my faith, we're in agreement and I know you're healed. But if I can't hear God to get the strategy, and I will, I promise you, I will not let you languish on life support, I will pull you off. Let me just skip over a minute and tell you what happened. One morning I was in there in that death room and I got an unction. Go back there right now. And he was in that little, you know, he was in CCU. And so he was vomiting out of the side of that, you know, that thing, that life support. I don't know about stuff like this. I'm not trying to learn about stuff like this. But anyway, on both sides of his mouth, vomit was coming out. And I knew that couldn't be good. So I ran and got a nurse. And, they got him. And they said he's vomiting involuntarily, blah, 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 blah. And they said he'll aspirate. And we got to get him x-rayed if he's aspirating. And they said, we'll have to pull him off life support. And I said, what does that mean? And they said, well, that means he'll die. That's what she told me. That means he will die. I said, okay, I got to go pray. That's what I said. Oh, okay, I got to go pray. And so I ran back to that death room. And I said, kids, we got to pray. And I hit my knees. And I mean, I began to pray. Well, I got a release. And I went back there. And they had pulled him off life support. They said, it'll be a couple of hours now. I said, till he wakes up. I mean, because my faith was so high, I had such a release. And they said, no, Miss Burris. You need to make some arrangements. I said, I'm making arrangements to take him home. I mean, I've got them all made. I've got them all made. Now, listen, I was not being ignorant. I was not being stupid. I was working with the doctors. I said, I told you, honey, we're a team. And I was in there praying, and you had to do this. So God's going to get the glory out of this. I kept telling them, God's going to get the glory. And so that was the day. That day that they had to snatch him off life support, that God spoke. Now, I told you I didn't let anybody go back there. I'd let nobody go back there but me. Not because I'm a control freak, because God told me, keep the unbelief out. And what your eyes would have looked upon, honey, I'm just telling you. And so God spoke to a pastor. Now, listen, I have never preached in this pastor's church. He is a precious, godly man. And he pastors a little church. And I know he thinks that Sister Sandy wouldn't come to his church. But they always come to my meetings when I'm over in Memphis. And the Lord spoke to him. And he came out of his prayer closet and he said, God spoke to me and said, we are to drive to Little Rock and see about Sister Sandy. They've never met my husband. I've never preached for them. And so I thought, how kind. That's so kind. And we were sitting there. And like I said, it was like, I can't tell you a lot about stuff that went on up here because I was so locked in here. And I was sitting there, and they were visiting with my children, and I don't know what was being said or wasn't being said. And I had an unction, and God spoke to me, and he said, take them back there to pray with you over him. I said, Pastor Joe, I said, God just spoke to me and told me for you and me and his sister Daisy to go and pray for Dad. He said, okay. I said, If I'm acting strange, I said, God's told me not to let anybody, but I know I clearly heard. He said, okay. Now, his blood pressure was so low that for it to even register, they had to put it in an artery. They couldn't even take it like that. It wouldn't even register. But it was in an artery, and if there's medical people in here, y'all know what that's about. Again, I'm not trying to learn what it's about. I don't want to know what it's all about, but that's what they had told me, and I knew that thing. And so we went back there. And this is probably one of the most humble men you've ever met in your life. He's a great old big black as black, black man. Ooh, I love it. He's so big and tall, Pastor Joe. Oh, my goodness. And, oh, you can just see Jesus all over him. He glows with Jesus. We went back there. I laid my hands on him. I said, Pastor Joe, come up here and put your hands on his head. And Sister Daisy didn't. She respected me, and which it would have been fine because they're so pure. I feel in my spirit they're so pure. And so I shall never forget. And we were just praying according to the Spirit and however the Lord was leading us. And he started saying this, Pastor. He was saying, Jerry, death is swallowed up in life. I'd never heard anybody pray like that. Say that way. He said, Jerry, death is swallowed up in life. Now, I did not tell them. I've been fighting death, like face to face. I have not. See, I never said anything. Did I ever say anything like that to you? No, I didn't. I never said anything. Oh, I didn't. That's all he would say. He would just say, and I could hear Sister Daisy praying in the Spirit quietly behind me. So I knew the anointing on him was right then. So I was just resting in it. Jerry, death is swallowed up in life. We prayed, turned around and started to leave. And the nurse had tears streaming down her face. She said, I can tell you this. His blood pressure came up to a normal blood pressure while you all were praying. And I can tell you this. It has never gone back down. Hallelujah. And it has never gone too high. As a matter of fact, the heart doctor told us that actually it is too low, but he does so well with it. It is the perfect pressure for a heart to heal. And he does fine with it. It doesn't bother him that it's low. But the heart doctor says it's really pretty low, like really low. But because he functions so well with it, it is the perfect pressure for his heart to heal. Now, I'm trying to preach this message and obey the pastor, too. So I'm going back and forth, back and forth. But as soon as the will of God is known, faith comes. And when the will of God is known and you're in faith, I'm telling you, the devil can't pull you out of it. Now, he may try to wear you down. He may try to do a lot of things. But I'm telling you, you will stand because it's just a thing in you that you know it is done. You know that it is not of you. It is done. It is the word. You know what? As soon in Psalm 138, no, in Psalm, well, I can't remember. But if you'll look it up for yourself, you can find it. The Bible says the entrance of thy word giveth light. And even the simple can understand it. Brings understanding, I think, to the simple. Let me tell you, that is not that you can just read a word and the word brings life. No, that is a revelation, a revelatory word. When the word of God is revealed and it brings light, then automatically it brings understanding. And you understand things that you wouldn't have normally understood. That's why these people say to me, I just don't understand. My children would say that to me at the hospital. I just don't understand, Mother. I just don't understand. My God, you and Daddy. I said, me and Daddy have done what we're supposed to do. What you need to do is get in faith. You need to get in the Word until faith comes. I'm telling you, you need to get your mind off. And see, I wouldn't go back and tell them what the doctors were saying. You know, because they were saying, remove of the kidney, dialysis, colostomy, everything was shut down. I can't even tell you what all they were saying. Sepsis, heart attack, AFib. Oh, it was horrible. I mean, every damnable thing you could think of happened. Okay, let me tell you this, because I have an unction to tell you this. When I would go out to that cross, Pastor Jerry, every morning, and like I told him in the first service, the morning was where the hardest for me, because it was like, I was getting tired physically, and I would have to, I don't know how to describe it. it was not that I would have to like reboot every morning. That's all I know how to say it. And I'd go and I'd sit out there by that fountain at the foot of that cross. And I would go over that completed work of Calvary until, I'm telling you, then I'd just be built. And every day I'd say, now, Father, here's what I need. I need a prayer strategy. Because I told you about the pastors coming and the preachers coming to the hospital before I quit seeing them. They would come and they'd say, call us when you need us. I knew what that meant. Call us when he's dead. We'll show up at the funeral. So I go out there and I would revisit Calvary and I would go through it and I would go through it and I would say, God, what I need is a strategy. And every morning he spoke the same scripture to me. I sent my word and healed them and delivered them of all their destructions. I knew that was Jesus going to Calvary. I knew it's that completed work of Calvary. I knew what he was talking about. And so I would go and I would just start working that word, you know, and all day. And I would just prayer and just all the word that I put in all these years and all of the strategy and all the revelation and all. But the main thing was, Lord, you sent your word and you healed him. And God, I just want to thank you that you healed him. And I know the very day you did. I know the very day that you healed him. And it was the day that you took those stripes upon your back. I know when my husband was healed. I know when he was healed. And I would just be so grateful that I could always go back and revisit that day. And no matter what my eyes saw, no matter what my ears heard, I would go back to that day because I knew that was the day that my husband was healed. And so I was just commanding principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places to release that completed work of Calvary because I knew what was going on. They were trying to hold it up in the second heaven. And so, you know, I hadn't eaten a bite of food because I couldn't let my body be overcharged with food. I had to be clear in my spirit. I had to be able to hear. And, you know, and people thought I wasn't eating because I so tore up. Finally, I told one of those preachers, I said, let me tell you something. I'm tired of hearing that. I am not eating because I am so tore up. I'm not tore up. I'm mad. That's what I am. You are looking at an angry woman. I am angry that the enemy has pulled this on my husband. I am worn out with this. I am angry that I am having to upset huge ministries by canceling out on them and at the last minute and them trying to, you know, redo after they've spent all this money. I'm angry. You're looking at an angry woman. I'm not tore up, but I cannot be overcharging myself with food. I've got to stay clear. And I know how you do it in the spirit. I know what to do. And I'm doing what I know to do. So, fast forward to every day, God would give me that word every day, every day, every day. And I would work that word every day. And of course, other things God would give me. But I mean, you know, I just, every morning God spoke that scripture. Every morning, not one that he did not, rhema, speak that to me. So one day after we'd gotten home from the hospital, he had gotten where I could go walk. And so I was out walking. And a doctor called me. And she said, I don't know if we ever told, if anybody ever told you what the medical term for what your husband had went through was. I said, well, I know it was sepsis. She said, no, there is a medical term. And she said, a 19-year-old could not have recovered from what your husband recovered from. And she said, a 19-year-old boy, she said. And she said, the reason why we say a 19-year-old boy, because that is our hallmark. A 19-year-old boy is what we call the epitome of health. That is, anyway, I don't know. I'm not going to add to it. That's what she said. And she said, I've been in the medical field for, I think she said 31, 33 years. I know it's 30 something. And she said, I have never seen anybody recover from what your husband has recovered from. You know, some of it, yes, but not all of it at the same time. And she said, but here's what it's called. Now, remember, every morning, Pastor Jerry, every morning, God would speak to me. That would be my word. I say, God, what's my strategy? I sent my word and healed him and delivered him out of all of his destructions. What my husband, what they called it in the medical field, is called total system destruction. I didn't know that. Nobody ever told me that. I'm glad they didn't. Because, see, the Holy Ghost was addressing it. See, my mind might have got all involved in it. But every day, the Holy Ghost was addressing it. Do you see how very important it is to be led by the Spirit? And not just pick a scripture. Because, you know, I knew a lot of good scriptures. I had to have a word. Do you know what I'm saying? I knew lots of things that applied, and I was using them. I was using them. Don't get me wrong. I was using everything that I knew. But I had a rhema word every day. And it was, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them of all their destructions. And, yeah, and I didn't find that out until we'd been home for weeks. Because at first there was no way I could even go leave him. I was out walking when I got this call. Total system destruction. Are you kidding me? And we get caught up. The enemy tries to convince us that God can't do what we have need of. I had no idea what I was dealing with, but the Holy Ghost did. And he addressed it every day, every day, every day, every day. The Holy Ghost addressed it. So yes, it was a terrorist attack, just like many of you have been through. It was terror. Oh, my. Oh, my. But, you know, it brought God glory. That little nurse. Of course, these nurses are all like very highly specialized nurses back in that unit. Before I left that death room, she found me. And, of course, he was still very far from being where he is now at that time. On her day off, she came and found me. And she said, Miss Burris, I went home that day. I've not been back. I've not been in that unit since. I'm not supposed to be back in that unit. But I was in that unit on that day, and your husband was assigned to me that day that you and that pastor prayed. And she said, Miss Burris, I went home that night. She said, I met a white woman. She was African American. She said, I met a white woman today. And she said, you haven't ever heard anybody pray like she prays. But wait a minute. That wasn't what. She said, and you have never felt what you feel when she prays. And she said to her husband, I think his name was, I don't know what his name was, but say if it was Mark. She said, Mark, while they were praying, his blood pressure came up, and she said, I mean, the man's dead. From all natural things, I mean, the man, there's no hope. But his blood pressure came up and it never went back down. Tears streaming down her face. I said, honey, you let me tell you something. The reason I pray the way I pray is because I have put the word in me year after year after year after year. And I have allowed God and helped him as much as I knew how to help him to develop a strong and an intimate relationship with the Holy Ghost. And I said, what you feel is it's not because of how I pray. It's because the Holy Ghost is leading me in prayer. And it is called the anointing. And I'm telling you, it lifts burdens and it destroys yokes. And God gets all the glory. Now, when those nurses were running after me, I do want to always make this clear. At a point, I saw they were looking to me. They thought it was me because, see, they were seeing miracles. They started seeing miracles. Things started changing. But I right quick corrected that. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't you ever let anybody start looking to you. Because that's when you'll go down like a one egg pudding, honey. And I made that correction and I told them, you don't understand. You're seeing me, but there's an army behind me. Now, there's a small army, but there are faith-filled people praying behind me. And you're seeing me come in and you're seeing the demonstration of their prayers. So don't get it twisted, baby. This isn't me. This is our God. Those people and I, we all serve the same God. We are connected. We are releasing our faith in Him and His Word. And you are seeing the demonstration of the Word of God. And it looks like it's me, but it's not me. It is an army behind me, but it is God that gets the glory. And let me tell you one more thing. I do want to tell you one more thing, and then I guess we'll have worship. I love you. I love that young man. He's teachable. That's why I love him. I don't know him that well, but I love his spirit. I saw doctors, specialists, get so discouraged. Oh, I could see it in their little faces. And God just gave us the best doctors and the best specialists. And it just seemed like every one of them was young. And you know, I've always had favor with young people. I just always have. And I just see in their little faces. And one night, Dr. Griffin, our heart specialist, I could tell he's the one that I could tell really loves Jesus. And I could see he was really praying. But I saw he hit that wall where I've got to tell her. I've got to make this clear to her, you know. And he started talking to me about, what do they call it? Quality, the quality of life. You know, he was trying to smoothly tell me, you know, we want him, you know, it'd be better going to die than not have quality of life. I said, oh, I see what you're saying. I said, oh, Dr. Griffin, don't be discouraged. Don't let this discourage you. I said, because you see, the God I serve, the God you serve, He is life. He is life. We don't have to worry about quality of life here. But I would gather them around me. They would cry. They wanted my husband to get well. You don't know what that meant to me. They wanted him to get well. And at different times, I would gather the nurses around me and I'd say, now, come on, kids. Now, listen, we're a team. I tell them, we're a team. We're a team. Because, you know, I would have really rather it never gotten there, but it did. That was where we got to. And I said, now, listen to me. We're a team. We're a team. You know things I don't know. But I think I probably know some things you don't know. You do what you know to do. And I'm going to get back here in this death room, which I've turned into a prayer closet. And I'm going to pray because, see, that's what I know to do. I know how to pray. And I said, and I you know, because I could tell they didn't really understand. I said, oh, no, you don't understand. I have applied myself to prayer for years. I know things about how to pray that you don't know. I'm going to get back here in this death room, which is my prayer closet, and I'm going to pray. I'm not back there on the phone. I'm not back there visiting. I'm telling you, I'm praying, and I'm praying for you all, and I'm praying for my husband, but I'm praying. And I said, but I'm going to tell you something. You wait and see. Just stick with me. If you'll just stick with me, God is going to get all of the glory. I'd encourage them. I'd lay hands on them. I'd pray for them. I'd lay hands on the nurses. I'd pray for them. I'd do anything I could to keep everybody encouraged. Every morning I'd go in and I'd say, it's going to be a great day. I'd say, you agree with me? Yes, ma'am. Do you agree with me? Yes, ma'am. Best friend, not to agree with me. And we walked through that thing. It was a long walk. I'm not going to lie to you. But I didn't go in there challenging the doctors when they would tell me things. I just finally got to the point that I was able, I had favor with them, and I knew I could talk to them that way. And I said, that just doesn't rest in my spirit, and I'm not doing it. We're not doing that. And, you know, they got where they would trust me. Like when I asked them, I said, I need 4 more hours to pray. They said, okay, 4 more hours. They respected me. So what I'm telling you is, to our story, it's many faceted. It's like a diamond. Because see, God used the medical profession. And he still, you know, we are still on their hearts. But how I know that is, one of them called when there was a movie that came out called The War Room. And they called and said, I want you to take your husband to a movie. I said, our heart specialist, I said, what movie? And he said, nurse to call, said, it's called The War Room. And said, Dr. Griffin said, tell you, there is a lady in that movie that is like you. And he wants to see if you can figure out which one. And he wants you to call him when y'all go see it. I figured it out right quick. We went. Stand at your feet. And you know what? Let's magnify Jesus. Because you know what? No matter how fiercely we prayed, and we did, we all prayed. No matter how fiercely we fought, and we did, we fought through this thing. No matter how much word we knew, how much word we believed, if it were not for Jesus, if it had not been for Jesus and that completed work of Calvary, if it had not been for his life and his death and his burial and his resurrection and his ascension and his seating, if it had not been for Jesus, number one, we wouldn't have cared. There wouldn't even be any use to live. So let's worship Jesus. Let's truly worship Jesus. And let's always remember that no matter what you're going through, it is finished. Thy word, O Lord, is truth. And before you got here, some of you were here, my husband said, there were many facts. And there still are facts. We're still taking off grave clothes. God has resurrected him, but we're still taking off grave clothes with his hands. We're still taking off grave clothes, but that's okay, honey. They're coming off too. Because see, the devil wants us to just settle for, well, my God, what else do you want? Honey, I want it all. That's exactly what I want. I will not slap Jesus in the face by settling till he can play that piano again, just like he used to. Because it is Jesus. It is Jesus. It is Jesus.
She died.